hope you enjoy this message from South City C3, a location of C3 Church, Christchurch.
Well, good evening, church. Thanks for inviting me into your home. We hope you're enjoying being part of our community during this time. It's Resurrection Sunday, and today we're celebrating Easter. Today I want to celebrate Easter by telling the story of Jesus. I'm going to do it in a slightly different way. I want to explore an interesting aspect of the way the early church told the story of Jesus. There's some verses in Acts 5, verse 30, that convey this. It says, "The God of our fathers raised Jesus, whom you killed by hanging him on a tree." Now your version might say cross, but the original language used the word tree. Hang on a second, a tree? And you might say, "I thought he was crucified on a cross." Now this isn't some conspiracy theory about the way Jesus died. Instead, it was how the early church often talked about Jesus' death. They brought trees into it. 1 Peter 2 verse 24 says, "He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness." The story of Jesus can be told through the appearance in the Bible of trees. Maybe that's why we've always been including plants in our videos. At this point, I need to stop and give some serious credit to the Bible Project. They are a YouTube channel, and they have a brilliant video about the Tree of Life, which we'll link to after this service. And as part of their preparation for this video, they released 10-hour-long podcasts, and I've got an example of what that looks like on my phone. Really seriously recommend the Bible Project. And they discuss the biblical theme of trees, and how people are like trees, and how themes of salvation and testing are tied together through trees. It's amazing. And if you've got a low opinion of Scripture, then you should check it out. You'll be challenged. The Bible is a piece of work of the highest order. And it turns out that one of the central themes in Scripture is trees. One of the things they talk about is how often trees are mentioned. Here's something that they quote. They say, "What's the most frequently mentioned living thing in the Bible other than God and humans? It's trees." A word search in an average English translation brings up 811 occurrences of the word tree or fruit or branch or root or forest or vine or leaf. And that's a lot. And it doesn't even include the hundreds of times specific tree species are mentioned, like palms, acacias, oaks, terebinth, willows, sycamores, figs, olives, pomegranates, cedars. It doesn't mention any of those. So here's what we're going to do. Today we want to track the story of Easter through the use in the biblical story of trees. We're going to have some fun with this. We're going to enjoy ourselves. This is the tale of the two trees. Are you ready? Great. Let's go. So, the story of humanity begins in a garden, a place called Eden. Eden is the place where God's life flows. God creates humanity from the dust and places them in the garden. Then he says, "Then the Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east, and there he placed the man he had made. The Lord God made all sorts of trees grow up from the ground, trees that were beautiful and that produced delicious fruit. In the middle of the garden he placed the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil." In the center of the garden is this tree. It's the tree of life. It is the thing humanity is most searching for. From advances in medicine to transhumanism, it is what we're all longing for, to have fullness of life. And God grants it as an opportunity for people's ability to take from this tree. He gives it to them as a great gift. And it represents their connection with him. If they are to take of it and remain in that place, they can have fullness of life. However, there is another tree in the garden. It is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And within it is the potential for wisdom. Now, this is an interesting one because we've been told in our learnings in the Bible and the book of Proverbs and other places that wisdom's a good thing. We should get it above all other things. It's as precious as rubies, is what we're told. So, what's the big deal? Surely God wants people to have wisdom, right? It turns out there's two kinds of wisdom. There is a wisdom that comes from knowing God and knowing his way for life. But then there's another kind of wisdom. And that's a wisdom where our eyes are opened to the things of the world and getting them in a way apart from God. So this is what they're faced with. They have here the fruit that they can get for themselves, or they can walk past that and get the tree of life, wisdom in God's way. This is the divine test that they are placed with. Will they choose to do life their way, or will they choose to do life God's way? But the Lord God warned them, "You may freely eat the fruit of every tree in the garden, except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If you eat its fruit, you are sure to die." So what do they do? Well, we read the story that the serpent tests Eve. And Eve picks the fruit and she eats it. And then Adam does the same. And the consequences for this are massive. They are universal. For those humans, they were cast out of their lush garden into the wilderness, to where they had to fight for themselves. They had to work by the sweat of their brow to make anything and everything happen. It's a curse on us that we are still facing today. But God gives hope. He says, "One day, I am looking for the one who will come, who will pass the divine test, who will deny themselves doing life their own way, but will instead choose to do life my way. And that person, when they have done that, then the tree of life will be available to all." And this makes up the story. We read about testing moments, and we read about trees of life metaphorically throughout the story of the Old Testament, through Noah, through Abraham, through his descendants, Moses, the people of Israel, through the prophets. These trees just keep on coming up again and again, either trees of life or trees of testing. And we see that as a repeated theme right through Scripture. Think, for example, of the story of Abraham and Isaac. This is the story where Abraham has a son who is destined to be the father of a nation greater than the stars in the sky. Then God asks Abraham to go up on a mountain and sacrifice his only son. So Abraham goes to the mountain. And the Bible says, "So Abraham placed the wood for the burnt offering on Isaac's shoulders, while he himself carried the fire and the knife, as the two of them walked on together." Did you hear that? Abraham is facing his great test. A test both for the father and for the son, where the son will die in obedience. And he takes the tree, the method of death, and he places it on his son's shoulders. And he asks him to walk up the hill. Abraham ties Isaac up and picks up the knife. And then an angel calls and tells him that he has passed the test and reaffirms his place as the bringer of blessing for the nations. Abraham instead finds a ram caught in the thicket. Listen to how the Bible Project describes this. It says that the narrator draws the reader's focus on the tree/wood, the wood of the burnt offering taken along, placed on Isaac and arranged on the altar. The ram in the thicket on the mountain is an inverted image of the tree of life. Ram is spelt with the same letters as the word oak. Abraham's near sacrifice of Isaac is offered here as an image of a future faithful descendant who will offer a sacrifice of great cost in Jerusalem that will release the blessings of Eden's tree of life to all of the nations. Now, further on in their journey, the people of Israel have a strange incident with some snakes. The people grow impatient with God and accuse God of not looking after them. He punishes them by sending poisonous snakes amongst them. They cry for God to take away the snakes, and he doesn't take the snakes away, but he instructs Moses to do something that is a little bit different. We read in the book of Numbers, "Then the Lord told him, make a replica of a poisonous snake and attach it to a pole. All who are bitten will live if they simply look at it. So Moses made a snake out of bronze and attached it to a pole. Then anyone who was bitten by a snake could look at the bronze snake and be healed. Here is a cursed one, a snake hanging from a tree that will bring them life. It became a tree of life for them, even a cursed one becoming a tree of life. It's interesting that the book of Deuteronomy covers a similar kind of idea. It says if someone has committed a crime worthy of death and is executed and hung on a tree, the body must not remain hanging from the tree overnight. You must bury the body that same day, for anyone who is hung is cursed in the sight of God. We only read of this happening once in the Old Testament, in the story of Esther, where the evil Mordecai is taken away and he is hung on a tree that he's made. And he is the ultimate cursed one. Which brings us to the story of Jesus. Jesus didn't just come as a human, but his coming was much more than that. As Josh mentioned last week, when Jesus, the night before he died, he got together with his disciples and they had a conversation and they had it around a grapevine. And Jesus said to them in John chapter 15, verse 1, I am the true grapevine and my Father is the gardener. Here he was saying something remarkable. He was saying, I am the tree of life. That search for life that went right back to the beginning, Jesus was actually saying it can be found only in him. That true life is found as we connect with him. And like these grapes, as they connect with the vine, we can bear much fruit. It's only in Jesus that that is found. After Jesus has taught his disciples this lesson, he walks into another garden. And in that garden, he faces a great test. He walks into a garden called Gethsemane. Gethsemane means literally in the Greek an oil press. What they do is they would go to the olive trees, they would gather the oil from them, and they'd press them together and get the finest oil that they could from them. And that's exactly what happens with Jesus. He goes through his moment of testing amongst the trees. And as he is there amongst the trees, he has his choice about what he is going to do. He took Peter and Zebedee's two sons, James and John, and he became anguished and distressed. He told them, my soul is crushed with grief to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. He went on a little farther and bowed with his face to the ground, praying, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup of suffering be taken away from me. Yet I want your will to be done, not mine. This was the Garden of Eden all over again, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Would he choose to do things his way? Would he choose his own wisdom? Or would he choose to do things God's way? And he says, God, your will be done, not mine. He passes the test. So that means he has chosen the tree of life, right? Surely that's what it means. But unfortunately, that's not what it means. Because Jesus still needs to break the curse, which leads him to the cross. Carrying the cross by himself, he went to the place called Place of the Skull, in Hebrew, Golgotha. Jesus picks up the tree of suffering and he carries it up the hill, like Isaac centuries before, and he carries it to his death. Jesus becomes the curse so that all who look to him, like the snake many centuries before as well, that they would receive their rescue, they would receive their healing. And Jesus takes the tree of cursing and he turns it into the tree of life, that there might be life in only one name. And that name is the name of Jesus, the name that we worship above all others. That is what he has done for us and how he has become the tree of life. This is how the story of humanity ends, in a new city with the tree of life. On each side of the river grew a tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, with a fresh crop each month. The leaves were used for medicine to heal the nations. Our certain hope is that the same God who wanted us to live a fulfilling life in the beginning is the same one who has granted us eternal life through his Son, Jesus. This time, there will be no tree of the knowledge of good and evil, but there will be two trees of life. The test has been won, and all who follow after Jesus will share in his victory. It is a great and glorious future that we have. From the beginning to the end, we see the importance of these trees and why the first followers of Jesus thought to include them in their story. They said, "But Christ has rescued us from the curse pronounced by the law. When he was hung on the cross, he took upon himself the curse for our wrongdoing. For it is written in the scriptures, 'Cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree.'" This story is much bigger than trees. It is the story of humanity. The tale of the two trees is really the story of our life. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil is something that we face all the time. It's every temptation to do life your own way apart from God. The tree of life is the call of God to abide, to spend time drawing our life from him and doing life his way, not our way. I mean, think of yourself right now. You are home. Maybe you have a lot to do, but equally, it might be that you are short of things to do at the moment. The old saying goes, "Idle hands are the devil's plaything." And so the temptation is there for you to do life your own way. And the things that you watch, or the ways you interact with others, there is temptation all around you. One of the examples of this at the moment is porn. Stats have shown that the majority of porn sites have increased in traffic by 25% in the last 2 weeks. There are so many temptations out there. So, what will you choose? Will you choose to eat from that tree and gain knowledge apart from God? Or will you choose to spend time with him and take from the satisfying and fulfilling life that he offers to you? This is the path to transformation, from the old humanity to the new one. Christians are tree of life people. We choose to die to the tree of knowledge of good and evil way of living and rise again with Jesus into the tree of life way of living. Today, as we finish, we're going to praise God for what he's done, for his goodness, and we're going to choose Jesus. Let's choose his way of life, and let's thank him this Easter Sunday for all that he's done for us. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you that all of our life is found in you, that the story of humanity begins and ends with our desire not just to have eternal life, not just to have something for ourselves, but to draw our life and our connection from you. And so we pray tonight, we pray as we are here, God, that we would choose you. Lord, right now, even in our own hearts, we humble ourselves again. God, we know so often we have chosen to do life our own way, but we know that you want to do life with us. And so tonight we ask and we pray, God, will you come and meet us here? Will you come and even fill our lounges, our bedrooms, our kitchens with your life? Tonight, God, we choose you. And we pray and we ask that, God, you would be revealed in our lives. And as we abide in you, as we draw our life from you, that we would bear much fruit, both now and in the years to come. We thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. To learn more about our church, visit c3chch.org.